Bhagavad Gita is a scripture, and like all scriptures, its goal, its purpose is to bring the ultimate illumination in our life, to take us to the ultimate goal of life. That is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, there can be many auxiliary reasons for study of Bhagavad Gita. But for us, the only purpose of its study is to illumine all aspects of our life by the light of truth. The truth is the most important value in life. Everything else can be sacrificed for truth, but truth cannot be sacrificed for anything else. That is the advice, the precept of all sages. Sri Ramakrishna used to always emphasize this aspect. And there is that wonderful example in his own life, that at the end of his spiritual practices, he sacrificed, offered everything to the Divine Mother, saying, all these dual aspects, like Mother, take this, your auspiciousness, your inauspiciousness, give me pure devotion. O Divine Mother, take your good and your evil, give me pure devotion. And all such dualities he offered at the feet of Divine Mother, praying for the pure devotion. But he mentioned, I couldn't say that Divine Mother, take your truth and take your untruth, give me pure devotion. Because truth cannot be given like that. Truth is identical with God. So, therefore, the value of truth is maximum in life. So, here we all are doing our journey. We are in a journey of life, and the journey has a destination. And that destination is the ultimate truth. We are going towards that. And scriptures help us in doing it. Of course, that tells who should read scriptures. Those who have already arrived at the truth, they no more need scriptures. They don't have to study scriptures anymore. And those who do not want to take up that journey, they also do not need to refer to scriptures. It is only those who want to reach there and haven't reached there, they require the scriptures. Like who wants the driving directions? Once you are at the destination, then you don't have to look at them. You are there now. And if you don't want to take up the journey, again they are of not much use to you. So that is the same thing about scriptures. So let us take it up, take this study up as our helpmate in realizing the truth in our life. That should be our attitude in the study. It is, we see that Arjuna is overtaken by a terrible weakness. The life at that moment has become all full of confusion and depression consequent to that. When we are confused, what happens is we do not know which of the directions to take. And thus, the moment goes away. The time doesn't wait for us. If you are standing at the train station thinking whether I should take the train or I should not take the train, then the train is not going to wait for you indefinitely. As soon as its departure time is there, it goes, keeping you stranded there. And then you feel depressed because the choice has been now taken away from you. Now you cannot say that, now I want to take the train. There is no more train there to take. You have missed it. So, therefore, this is how we get depressed. The opportunities come our way. And now they are for grab. But if we keep on thinking whether I should or whether I should not, and indefinitely keep on thinking about it, then the opportunity goes away. It doesn't wait for you. And then, as a result, we feel depressed. Oh, look, this happened to me like this. I should have done that, but now I don't know what I should do and what I should not do. The mind becomes more full of sorrow and that sense of, it goes on then getting multiplied. It is like a disease, you see, that it goes on then increasing more and more. And the human beings, as when it appears that you have a disease, but the cure of that disease is somewhat painful, you have to exert for that, then the reaction on many, many occasions, I have seen many, many patients who are prescribed something, who know what they should be doing, but for the some unknown fear inside doesn't let them do that, doesn't even let them go to the physician. Because they fear, if I go to the physician is sure to tell me this. I don't want to do that. And so we don't go to physician also. Although that is the only way we can be cured. But I remember as a child, I also used to have this problem. And I am not fully free of that even now. The thing is, whenever there used to be some painful scar or some, while playing in the sports, get hurt many times. And then I used to hide the wound from my mom. Because if she sees that, then she would take and put an ointment and do the dressing, and some of those ointments are such that they give lot of burning sensation there when it is done, especially when she used to pour that cleaning spirit or some such thing, and then it used to give that burning sensation. Nobody likes that. And then it would go, the wound would go festering more and more. It is, why this happens? Because, although I know that this should be done, I do not muster enough courage, enough strength to stand up to it and take it up. So, that is what in our life becomes the cause of continuation and increase of the disease. It is for many people, it is very good. The only cure for their problem is if they take a regular exercise. But somehow they do not take it because it is a little painful, strenuous to do that. So it is said, oh no, today you know I am very tired. I remember one of our Swamis, He was in his 80s and then was suffering from many ailments, and the doctor had told he should be made to walk at least around a quarter of a mile, not much, but at least that much to keep the mobility. And he used to find some excuse or the other, and we had to tell him a little bit sternly. In India, one can do that, you know. Here, if I try to do something, that fellow may sue me in the court. It is. But in India, we are allowed to do that. So, Swami, come on. We need to walk. No. Today, you see, there is pain in my knee. I don't want to walk. Do you want to hurt my knee more? No, you have to walk, Swami. Without that, it won't do. No. Then we will not give you food if you don't walk. Or nobody will come to you if you don't come to walk with me. If you are walking, then we will make that nice, delicious. He had become very childlike, you know, very simple-natured, childlike person. So, if you walk, Swami, if not quarter mile, say at least half of that you can try, give it a try. And then, do you not tell in your talks, you see, that we should at least give a try? Why accept defeat without giving it a try? Give it a try! And then somehow he would get ready and then start walking, complain a little bit from time to time. But that is what I mean to say is our own good. Although we understand that, we do not take the right steps for getting it done. Somehow our actions are such that they are not conducive to our own good, although we understand it. The problem is not that we don't understand it, but the weakness generates a philosophy. And we are very good at employing all our faculties to defeat our purpose. These are our faculties, our intellect, our emotions, our strength, all are our faculties. So, they should be employed in attainment of our goal. But what happens is, we unconsciously employ them to defeat our own purpose, to defeat ourselves. And that is exactly what we find Arjuna doing here. He understands that it is weakness, but doesn't want it to be called weakness. So, he covers it up and gives it a very nice moral standing, moral and ethical standing, that yes, what I am doing is the morally right thing. I am not coward. I am not running away from my duty, but look at the moral considerations. So he started now telling Krishna, when he saw that whom he has to fight are all his relations, and it is an all-consuming, all-embracing, terrible war. He is seeing that, and so he wants to now shirk his duty because of the attachment to all near and dear. And we don't want to give them up, you know. I want to just keep on clinging on to that. Although, think, are we not have to give them up? Are we going to be clinging on to them continuously? There are all, you know, to feed our weakness, many silly philosophies have been generated, that after you die, even in the heaven, you will be meeting all those your relations and all that again. then who were husband and wife here will become husband and wife in heaven. And the idea is that we do not want to give up. We want to still cling on, hold on to these appearances, these attachments. And this is what Arjuna was thinking, that no, well, they will die, as if they are not going to die otherwise. It is, he knew all that. Before coming to war, he knew that he was going to be in the war, and he is going to kill in the war. And of course, others also are going to try to kill him. And now, at the moment, now when the war is to begin, now he started having second thoughts, not really thoughts at all. They are escape routes. He is trying to find now the escape route. It is not really thinking, but only trying to find out how I can cover up my weakness. So he bought the time and then started telling Krishna. We read a few verses from that. And let us now see how Arjuna this constructs a beautiful philosophy of weakness, cowardice, philosophizing cowardice. It is, see how beautiful it appears, you know, that Arjuna's discourse on the face of it is so nice. You will think that Arjuna, what a saintly person he is, forgetting that it is just a cover, a mask to hide the cowardice. So he started telling that Krishna, Nacha shreyo nupashyami hatva swajanamahave nakaṃshe vijayam krishna nacha rajyam sukhanicha kim no rajyena govinda kim bhogair jivitenava. 32nd verse. And Arjuna is telling Krishna, and I see no good from killing kinsmen in battle. I do not desire victory. Now he is telling that, why did you come here in the first place, you see? I do not desire victory, O Krishna, nor sovereignty, nor pleasures. Of what use is sovereignty to us, O Govinda? Then, or what is the use of enjoyments or life itself? He is giving now all these ideas. What is the use? You see, it is all, after all, transitory, isn't it? And then the lives of all of us are anyway transitory. Why you are forgetting this fact? But that is how the cover-up starts coming. Then the idea of compassion he is now stressing. And also how we should think about our progeny. People, we all, you know, this is not somebody else's life. It is our own problem. And we justify sometimes our attachments with this argument. Not for me really. It is for my children, you know. It is, I do this all for my children. So Arjuna now started telling this, that why should we not fight the war, you know. After all, our own kith and kin, our children, they are also going to fight in the war and may get killed. So why should we now strive for kingdom and wealth? You see, at that time, according to that chronology, it tells that Arjuna and Krishna both were around the age of 60. So, at that time, a person can keep on thinking about children and grandchildren and giving these things to children. So Arjuna started telling that, look, they, for whose sake we desire sovereignty, enjoyments and pleasures. are gathered here for battle, giving up their lives and wealth. I do not want anything. How nice it is to, that feeling is very nice. You know? I do not want anything. How unselfish I am. I am just thinking of my offsprings and then their children and their children. I want to give them, you know. So that is why I am attached. It is, that is another cause of worry in people. We keep on worrying, you know, that something or other we keep on worrying. Even if you have lot of wealth for yourself, you think, I should have more for my children. Let me collect more for them so that they will live happily. In Sanskrit, there is a very nice saying that it is actually in Hindi also, that same saying is that why should we accumulate wealth for the son or daughter whosoever? Because if they are good and capable children, they will get for themselves. You don't have to save for them. And if they are not good, still what is the use of them saving for themselves? They are going to squander it. Put saput to kyo dhana sanchay? Put kaput to kyo dhana sanchay? Why save money if they, your children are capable? They will earn. You don't have to worry about them. And if they are not good, then that this money is going to spoil them further. So why then keep money for them? So therefore, in any this idea is that don't support your attachments by thinking. And then the worries start coming. My children, I think I have accumulated enough for my children. But I must earn more for my grandchildren. Then even if you get for 14 generations, that enough for my 14 generations, I think. But then again you die with worry. Maybe in the 15th generation they all will have to starve, you see. So, all these silly ideas, we keep on thinking for supporting our attachment. So Arjuna says that what is the use of this war? I don't want anything for me anyway. I was trying to get kingdom for all my, other relatives and friends, so that we all would together enjoy. How can we enjoy when they get killed? And so I don't really want that. Etan hantum icchami gnatopi madhusudana apitrailokyasya rajyasya heto kim numahi krite nihatya dhartarashtranna ka pritisya janardana papameva ashraye dasman hatvaitanatatainah. I do not like to kill them, O Madhusudana. And this is, he is addressing Krishna now as Madhusudana, the one who has killed the demon. That name of the demon was Madhu. So, the one who killed the demon Madhu, he is Krishna. Again, it has allegoric meaning also. And so, therefore he is called Madhusudana. So you killed, you know, but look, I don't want to kill. So a kind of that sense is there, that look, although you killed him, now I do not want to kill. I am rather better than you. I am going to forgive these people. I don't want to kill these, and it will all be, we will be incurring sin, Krishna, isn't it, if we kill them. So much of sin. And so now he tells Krishna that what evil will follow, all that problems will ensue if we enter into this war. So he tells, First of all, they are our own kith and kin. Do you think we will be able to live happily by killing these people? What a nice argument. This, of course, will not bear an answer. Yes, we will be able to live happily after killing our relations. So, these are called it is a figure of speech, that it is put in the form of question, but never wants the answer yes. It doesn't require, you never expect an answer yes to that. Like if you are doing something not right, and if your friend sees and says, "Hey, why are you doing this? Are you a fool?" And then you don't say, "Oh yes, I am a fool." It is. That means don't do it. So, similarly, this question here only indicates that we cannot live peacefully and happily if we kill them. And suppose the other argument, if you give, if he is thinking that Sri Krishna may say that, "But they are going to kill you. You don't want to kill them. But see, not only that you are ready for the war, those people in there, they also are ready for the war. So what do you think now? They will kill you." Then Arjuna is giving an argument to counter that also. Yadyapetena pasyanti lobho pahata chetasah kulakshaya kritam dosham mitra drohe cha patakam. You see, those people, they are ignorant and they do not see. That is why they want to come to war. They do not see all these problems, but we are wise people, isn't it? So, in the next verse he says, we know, so therefore at least, because they don't understand, they are ignorant, so they are engaged in this war. But we, having understood the truth, and we who are good people, we should behave in a good way. Posing like a saint, you know, Arjuna is giving all these things, that what a saint. You heard the nice talk on saint and scorpion some time back. A saint, saw a scorpion and getting drowned in the water of a stream. So he took the scorpion out. And as he was about to take the scorpion out, the scorpion stung. And because the scorpion stung, the saint dropped the scorpion again perforce. The scorpion fell again in the stream. Again the sage went to pick that scorpion up. Again it fell, because again it stung. And onlooker saw when this happened repeatedly and told the sage, "Oh sage, don't you know that it is the nature of the scorpion to sting? Why are you doing like this?" The saint said, "Yes, that is its nature and this is my nature. What to do? To lift it up and try to save it. So that is my nature." So Arjuna is hiding under that idea now, that look, they may be killing us, because they don't understand, they don't know. But does it mean that we should also kill them when we know better? So let us not, let us do the right thing by not engaging into this war. And look what terrible things are going to happen in this war. This war will take place and so many people will be dead. All the social order will get destroyed. And the societies will be all annihilated. Who is then going to, you know, bear the flag for, you know, the standards and the education of the next generation? How the traditions are going to be passed on if people die like this? We always think, you know, we should pass on our the good traditions to the next generation. Sometimes that is considered very important, that the continuity in the society, let it be passed on properly. But if there is a break, if people, a large number of such people are killed, now how can you pass on? And then because there is no proper order, there will be people will behave unethically, and there is no social order to control their behavior, and all this will happen because he is now taking responsibility on himself, because we, having known that this is going to happen, are still going to engage in this war. Should we do that, Krishna? He tells, well, I am not going into the details of it, that what ill effects of war he told. And Sri Krishna also doesn't refer to it in his reply, because what Arjuna tells is all factually truth. And if you see at the end of the Mahabharata war, the descriptions are given which bear out that what Arjuna had told, all those things really happened. That is how the wars are. Terrible. All the social orders get destroyed, and all very bad things do happen. And so it is not wrong, that Arjuna is not telling anything wrong, but it is not in the right perspective. It is a cover up to hide weakness. So he says that in the verse 45th, so we had been going to commit a big sin by undertaking this war. Aho bat mahat papam. Arjuna is saying, aho bat mahat papam kartum vyavasita vayam yad rajya sukhalobhena hantum svajanam udyatam. That look, Krishna, alas, what a heinous sin we are resolved to commit. In that we are ready to kill our kinsmen out of greed for the joys of sovereignty. We want to become sovereigns. We want to become the emperors of the whole earth. And that is why, for that purpose, we are now thinking of killing our own kinsmen. What a heinous act that we are now ready to do. And it will just sinful something, but the mahat papam, mahat pap, great sin, is what we are now coming to do. So he is telling Sri Krishna that all these bad actions we are going to commit now, the idea is now run away from the war. He has now, his mind is now set. Now, earlier there was at least a dilemma. Now, that dilemma has gone and he has decided to run away. Only now, how to run away without losing face? That is the question. He has taken the decision in his mind that he is not going to fight, and he is going to run away. That has been decided. But now, if I run away, people are going to call me cowards. People are going to think that because seeing these great warriors right in front of me, I lost heart. Because it was a formidable war. Not that Arjuna had to fight with the some street gangs. Big armies, very highly equipped armies were there. And look at those warriors. If you see Bhishma, the grandfather, old man, but tremendously strong. He had not seen defeat in any war till now, and had the boon of choosing his time of death. Nobody could kill him. That was his the boon. A very powerful person. So he was the general of the army. Then Drona, who had taught all this warfare, art of warfare, to Kauravas and Pandavas, and again he had also not seen defeat. So this is these are the heroes on the other side. Later on, therefore, Arjuna, he didn't want to speak it, but then it unconsciously came out of him, that idea of fear. It showed in the next chapter, we will see. He says, who knows who is going to be victorious? The war is, this is not that Arjuna alone is fighting, they are also fighting. And they are ready to kill Arjuna. So, not that Arjuna has all the power to kill them. It is, then the Karna, Duryodhana himself was great warrior on the other side. So all these great warriors were there ready to kill Arjuna. So it was a evenly matched war. In fact, the army on the other side was more in number. So, not that Arjuna was going to get just a walkover or a cakewalk there, that, hey, come on, he started war. Not that he came, he saw and he won, he conquered, nothing like that. It was going to be a very tough fight. So, he said that we are going to commit this big sin. He has so decided now that no, I am not going to fight. I am going to run away. He said that it would be better, Krishna, that we get away from here. We were going to commit a terrible sin. And even if we have to give up the claim on kingdom, even if we have to just continue our living by begging, that also I feel is better. But this fighting is, I don't think I am capable of doing anymore. He tells Krishna further that, yadi mam pratikaram ashastram shastrapanayah dhartarashtrarane hanyo tanme kshematram bhavet. He now gives the last blow on the nail, saying that, look, even if they, I am going to drop my weapons, and seeing me and not coming to fight, weaponless, powerless, sitting there, if these enemies, they decide to come and kill me, I don't mind even that. In fact, that will be better for me. If the sons of Dhritarashtra with weapons in their hands should slay me in battle while I am unarmed and unresisting, that would be better for me. What a saintly attitude. That, well, I won't kill anybody. I let them kill me. I have all the blessings for them and all that. But the problem is, while it is here, it is not here. The hypocrisy is showing up. And that is seen in the result. If having said this, had Arjuna remained calm, and the saints, when they say that they are calm, like Jesus, he was not perturbed. He calmly said, well, they are doing that because they don't know what they are doing. So, God forgive them. Arjuna's reaction is totally different. What happened? Sanjaya gives what happened to Arjuna. Eva muktva Arjuna sankhe ratho pastha upavishat visrijya sasharam chapam shokasam vignamanasah. Sanjaya said. Sanjaya is the reporter. He is giving what is happening there. So he told, thus speaking, Arjuna sat down on the chariot in that battle, casting away his bow and arrows, being grief-stricken at heart. He just dropped that, and because he knew that this was not the right thing, he did it out of weakness. So his mind was again overtaken by sorrow, shoka samvigna manasaha. This Sanskrit word is very powerful, very difficult to exactly bring that strength into English. Shoka means that terrible agony and sorrow, and his mind is completely overtaken by that, and like this he just dropped in the chariot. Rathopastha upavishat. He just sat there in the chariot. Probably it just fell down. Visrujya sasharam chapam. The bow and arrow just dropped from his hands and completely immersed in the sorrow. He just kind of fell there. So this was the result. He is now expecting. He has not said anything till now by way of, to Krishna, that please guide me, tell me what should be done, what is your opinion, nothing. He is just advancing all his ideas to conclusion. But now if that is the right conclusion, what would have happened? Arjuna would have been happy. Okay, so now I feel free. That no, I don't have to do any war. Let them have their kingdom. And now, Krishna, come on, you and I both will take a begging bowl and then start begging. How nice it will be. He would have been happy if that is really he wanted. The hypocrisy is there, that he really wants kingdom. That is the sign of what is known as inertia, tamoguna, tamas, darkness. That you want something, you really are hankering for something, but you do not want the efforts, to undertake the efforts to get them. You are worried about what will happen if you are to put in that efforts. You want it, you crave for it, provided if somebody just brings it at your doorstep. You do not want to take the pains to get it. And thus you tell people, what is the use of having this? It is really no good. You say, after all, the world is all transitory. Is it not really good for us to think of the Lord and forget all about this? Yes, if you really want that, that is a nice thing. But you are telling this thing just to cover up that intense and congealed desire for all these things. The desire is there, but there is not enough courage to give expression to that desire. Having no desire is one thing. Transcending the desire or sublimating the desire is still, it is a very good, nice thing to do. But covering up the desire and saying that I am free of desires is really a very detrimental. So if you have these desires, well, be aware of them. Don't try to cover them up. And don't try to say that, no, I don't have those desires. It is one just covers them up because you don't want to take the efforts to achieve them. And thus it becomes a morbid life. the mind keeps on craving for those enjoyments, and you don't get them because unless you put in efforts, you don't get them. So, such condition is not conducive to spiritual life. In for spiritual life, therefore it is told, be strong, be bold, be working, do hard work. The two ideas that in the beginning of the his Bhagavad Gita commentary, the great Shankara says that, you know, the religion of Vedanta, actually he says that the word is Veda, but let us understand it in terms of Vedanta, that dvividho hi vedokto dharmah pravritti lakshana nivritti lakshanascha. The religion of Veda is of two types. Actually not two types, it is twofold. Twofold is the religion. One is that which tells you to go for prosperity. Pravritti dharma. Go for prosperity, become prosperous. The worldly enjoyments, you are craving for them, then go for them. Go for that. The brooding and then trying to cover it up, saying, no, I don't want that. Like that story of the fox. There was the fox who saw a grape vine and wanted to get those grapes. So the fellow started jumping, jumped once, twice, thrice. Many a times the fellow jumped but couldn't reach that grapes. So started going back, saying that, after all they are sour grapes. So the grapes are sour. It is like that. So we do not have the strength, do not put in the efforts, and then say, after all they are sour. Are we saying it out of understanding? Arjuna was not saying with that understanding. He had all those desires and yet was trying to cover them up. That is not the way to illumination. So the first step is, well, go for that. Good, it is good. You know, good and bad is depends on where you are. What is good for person A is not good for person B. The example that I like to give, that if you are climbing up on the staircase, for a person who is on the second step, it is very good to climb on the step 3. Going to step 3 is good for that person. But if a person is on the step 4, then coming down, it will be to come to step 3 will be coming down for him. It will be involution. For the one who is on step 2, it will be evolution. For the other person who is already there on the step 4, it will be involution. So, it is to understand that that I should give up all this craving for material wealth is very good. But do you have it to give it up? You don't have anything to give it up. What are you going to give up? It is, Swamiji therefore says that it is the Buddha's renunciation is really renunciation. He had all those enjoyments all around him, and yet he said that they are of no use at all. He examined them and saw that they do not bring any lasting good, they bring bondage and suffering. Seeing that, he gives them up. Now, therefore, he is not going to look at them with longing, lingering look. Oh, I should have kept this with me. That is not renunciation. You think forced by some momentary feeling of renunciation, and also because of inability to get those objects of enjoyments, you say, "Oh, I give up those grapes, they are sour." But you look at them. So that is not renunciation. So it is at that point, it is good to engage yourselves in efforts to get it. That is called abhyudaya, prosperity, pravritti lakshana dharma. And as you examine it, what is there in that? Nothing. Examine it. Don't just take it, but examine it. What did you get by that? And learn that experience. You had it. What was obtained by going through that? Going after that? Misery, suffering. So I don't want it. Now you know. So you give it up just as you spit out. And then you don't give it a lingering look. Oh, and go to again lick it. You don't do that because it is, you threw it out. It is gone, you see. You don't think, I should have it again. So that is the renunciation. You saw that it is worthless. Seeing its hollowness, now you have given it up. That is the way. But the most harmful thing is this, that covering the attractions toward the world by this idea, no, I don't have any attraction, no, it is no, they are all ignorant people, they have attraction for that, I am a person of knowledge, so I don't have it. But give that things to that person, bring that to him. If Arjuna is being brought the emperorship on platter, then he is not going to refuse it, you see. He is going to take it. It is only when you see the efforts that is the one needs to put them for getting it. Arjuna's mind is quivering, shaking. And that is why after saying all this, the effect was he felt depressed, unhappy, and thought that Krishna will bring consolation. Saying that, Arjuna, excellent, what nice things you said and you did. It is very good that at the opportunate time you really got this knowledge. Otherwise we were going to kill, you know, what a terrible sin we were going to commit. So, Arjuna, you are really a saintly man. So when you get support from somebody like that, then you feel happy. So we crave for such support of somebody. If I know that what I have done is not right, but then I think somebody would come and tell me, no, that is not bad, it is good, everybody does that and so forth, you see. So Arjuna was expecting that Sri Krishna will tell him that he will put his hand on his back and say, "Oh Arjuna, what a nice thing you did. Come on, here is one begging bowl for you, here is one for me. Let us now go and start begging. Let them have their kingdom." And while he was saying that, the second chapter begins like that Krishna, instead of saying any such consolatory words, really bangs him. It kicks him. Yes, the words are very, very, you know, very scathy words with which Krishna is hammering Arjuna in the beginning of the second chapter. We shall try to see that on coming Friday. Any questions? Okay, so we will conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarai
या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।